Welcome to GoToGal, episode number 142. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and today's episode is all about creating content. Now, before I get into our amazing guest that I have for us today, just a quick hey. For those of you that are listening in real time or close to real time. So this episode is going to air on Election Day here in the US. And even though we have a very diverse international audience, my guess is that most of you are aware of our current election situation here in the US and just doing lots of deep breaths and trying to, I don't know, I actually blocked off my calendar for, well, Tuesday. I always have my son home. I always have Marshall home on Tuesday when the episode goes live. But on Tuesday this week, actually, both kids are home. The schools are off today, schools are off today when you're listening to this, quote unquote. And then I actually blocked off my calendar for Wednesday. I don't know. I just still have PTSD from 4 years ago, and I was so not prepared then. And I don't know. I figured no matter what, I need a day, right? So thankful that I could do that and just kind of stack some things the rest of the week, right? But hopefully you are taking care of yourself this week. I know anxiety is just high in a lot of us. And I don't know, I just keep saying, okay, what can I do so I'm not like doom scrolling, right? So if you are listening to this in real time, hang in there. We got this. I'm channeling all my optimism reserves here and just hoping and praying for the best. So today's episode has nothing at all to do with the election. And isn't that a relief? When I was thinking about content for today, I'm like, should I go with something? No. This is we're talking about creating content for your business. And one, this is something that I think will be a good distraction for you from everything going on right now if you need it. And I also think this is an important topic, an evergreen topic, if you will, that will come back to you time and time again. So our guest today is Abby Herman, and she is going to talk to us about why we need to have a reason behind every piece of content that we put out there. She's going to break down how to get started with content marketing and give us some super simple strategies to get started with really figuring out what kind of content we should be creating and where we should be creating it. Abby and I go way, way back. She's been a client of mine. I've been a client of hers, and it's incredible to see her business grow. I love the perspective that she brings to this conversation because Abby does not just write her own content, but she has been writing content for other businesses for a number of years. And now she's also teaching it to business owners of how to DIY their own content. But by being that service provider and being behind the scenes in so many different businesses and writing their content and figuring out those strategies for how to not just write, but to actually create content that connects and converts that's just such a unique perspective. And to be able to not just have that experience in her own business, but in others, she really has a wealth of knowledge on this and brings a lot to the table for us today. So I am so excited to share her with you. And before I do, let me formally introduce you to Abby. Abby Herman is a content strategist and consultant for service-based business owners who want to gain visibility for their businesses with personalized content strategies and implementation. She specializes in idea generation, content strategy, and delivery so her clients can keep doing what they love in their businesses, making the marketing piece easy. Abby is the voice behind the Stories in Small Business podcast, where she features guests and solo episodes to talk about business growth and mindset, content strategy, and visibility. She hosts Content Mastery Lab, a growing membership program to help newer business owners DIY their content marketing, because she knows from experience that there's nothing more frustrating than not knowing where to start. All right, let's get right on to this conversation with Abby. Abby, I'm so excited to have you here.
Me too. I'm so excited to finally be here and be doing this.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes, it has.
It has not been easy. My schedule during this pandemic. And yes, thank you for your patience. And I feel like I feel like that we landed on just the right time. These things always tend to happen for a reason and seems like a good time to be talking about content. Now, before we go into you and your business and what you're up to now, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
So as a little girl, young, I was the go-to gal for just being a bundle of verbal energy. I was super shy and quiet out in public, but behind closed doors, I talked nonstop. And my parents still to this day, so 40 plus years later, still tell me that my favorite word was "and," because I knew that as soon as I stopped talking, that somebody else was going to start talking. So I would just connect everything with the word "and," and sometimes I still do that.
That's really smart though, to figure that out as a little kid. I'm impressed. Right? Oh, that is hysterical. Okay. Yeah. So fast forward to today, what do you do and who do you help?
So I am a content strategist and coach for online business owners who are ready to get more visibility online. I help two different types of business owners. So I help the primarily service-based businesses. I help those who are growing kind of a larger business and they want to just let go of it all. And they just want somebody to take over all of the content for them. So they want somebody to help them with planning out a content strategy that aligns with their goals and where they want to go in their business. And then also to do the content creation and implementation for them. So I have a team that helps me with that piece. And then I also, so I used to be a teacher. I was an elementary school teacher for 13 years. And I, while I don't miss teaching in the public education system, I do miss the act of teaching. I love to teach others. So I also have a membership in a course that teaches others how to develop their own content strategies and implement it in a way that feels really good for them. So kind of two different types of people that I help, but in the same general capacity.
Yes. Now, I have so many questions for you about content, but I always love to connect those dots. Like, okay, well, what brought you here and why these offers? And especially going from teaching to the online space, and I know you've been in this industry for a long time. We go back a long time. Mm-hmm. What brought you into content?
So as a teacher, I've always loved to write. I loved to, I say I don't journal. It's a whole joke and I have a blog post about it. Because I do not journal for a lot of reasons. I think I've told you a lot of those reasons.
Am I the one that you first said that to? Because I feel like I was always like, go journal. And you're like, I don't journal.
My big reason for not journaling is that what if somebody reads it and thinks and is horrified by the ideas and thoughts in my head? But I've always loved to write and I used to write stories and things like that. But I've always loved to write. When I was teaching, in 2007, I was teaching. I had been a single mom for a while already. I was having trouble making ends meet. And I was like, God, I just need to do something from home, because my daughter was in 2007, she would have been 5. And so I didn't want to have to leave her in daycare. I already couldn't afford daycare. So I didn't want to leave her in daycare even more. And I started looking around for things I could do from home. And I stumbled across a couple of things, one of which was the school district where I worked had a website development company that hired stay-at-home moms to help maintain websites and write copy for websites and things like that. So I contacted them and I said, you know, I'm not a stay-at-home mom. However, I am a teacher and you do school websites. That's what they specialized in. And they said no, because they needed somebody to work from home. And I guess I could have said to something I have been known for is I don't really take no for an answer either. And I didn't when I was young either. Like, how much can you harass the person until they actually say yes? So I had a few conversations with them, asked them for some guidance and support, like, what can I do to get into a field like this? And after a few back and forth conversations, they finally did hire me part-time to work after school and evenings and weekends to help support, you know, the schools that needed website updates and things like that. So that's kind of how I got started in the online space. And then from there, I literally, this company, anytime I had an opportunity to do something different or learn something new, I was all over it. I learned how to write website copy, how to blog. I learned how to manage some of the back end stuff of website projects. And so I kind of learned all of the behind the scenes stuff that goes into it. Just basically anything that I could do to learn more, I did. And then I've talked about this before, but that this company did not pay well at all. I was excited to have the job because I needed the money, but it didn't pay very well. So I started looking for other opportunities and doing some blog writing for like credit unions. And I wrote copy for a commercial hood cleaning company. Which is really interesting and different.
Very interesting. Interesting may not be the right word.
Yeah. Very different. But just any opportunity that I could have to learn more and do more in the online space, I took. And so eventually, so that was, you know, 2007, 2008, and 2013, I decided I'd had enough of public education and decided I needed to leave for my own sanity and well-being. And so I did. So May of 2013, I left teaching and started just diving in and, you know, working on developing my client base. I was doing a lot of blogging and email writing for clients. And one of the things I started to notice, you know, as the years went on, was that a lot of clients wanted this blog written or these emails written, or I need this copy done. And I would say, yes, I would do it because that was my job, or, you know, or so I thought that was my job, is to just write this copy that the clients say that they need. But deep down, I knew that that is not what they needed. That's what they thought that they needed, but that's not actually what they needed. And it started to feel icky and slimy. And yes, I was making money and I was starting to make decent money at it. My business was growing, but it didn't feel good at all to just be creating this content. And sometimes I would create the content and it would never see the light of day on the clients' websites. And that irked me. Even though I was getting paid for it, they weren't using it. So
why do you think they weren't using it?
I think that they weren't using it because they decided, or they realized that, no, this isn't actually what we needed. I know that for some of them, it was they didn't have the skills to take that content or the website copy or whatever and to get it on their website. So in a couple of instances, the client was the project manager and they were the go-between between me and the website developer. And I tried to like help, you know, help them get past that so that they didn't have to be the go-between. So I started asking to be put in direct contact with the website developer so that the client didn't have to be the middleman, because the client doesn't want to be the middleman. They're paying us to do the work. But I think a lot of times, you know, as far as the email sequences and the blog posts and things like that, they maybe just realized that this is not what I needed. This isn't fitting in with my overall goals. And so at that point, I started pivoting in my business to create the strategy for the client. So I knew from the research that I was doing as I was writing their content and creating it, I knew what like the right direction to go. And I was I was doing the research. I was seeing what their audience was talking about. And so I made a complete shift in my business. I had a full client roster at the time, and I completely shifted into, we can continue working together, but this is what it's going to look like now. And I totally up-leveled my services and what I was doing to start providing that more of a structure. I, you know, helped them create the strategy, or I just created the strategy for them based on their goals. I revamped how I was communicating with clients and just completely shifted. And that was in 2016, in summer, fall of 2016, and just completely haven't looked back since. It has been such a great change in my business. It's helped my clients so much, taking that different approach, because I have found, you know, since then, clients you know, the people who are going to, who want to hire somebody to create the content for them, want to have a say in their strategy, but they need help getting there. They need help figuring out what that's going to look like. And so I'm super excited to provide that support and that help, because that's, I find that that's really where my expertise is in really helping support them through that strategy creation.
It's so interesting to see all those dots connect. And yes, when you were saying that you never, that some of those blog posts never saw the light of day, I immediately picture, I have like blog shame of like, oh God, like how many things do I have that never got posted, right? And and I think I'm sure other people do too. It's like true confessions here. But I have blog posts that I've never posted, and that's because I don't really have a content, like a blog strategy for my business. It's not something I've leveraged. Although I feel like there's a theme of interviews recently on this topic that is, it's clearly more top of mind for me now. And I imagine for other people too.
Well, I want to say too, interrupt for a second? I want to say too that so many people think that when you say content that it's blogs, but there are so many other pieces of content out there that there could be and should be some sort of strategy around, because you don't want to just put out YouTube videos just because you feel like you need to get in front of the camera, or even Instagram stories or podcast episodes. There should be a reason for every piece of content that you put out there. And that doesn't mean that like everything needs to be all in these neat little boxes and this neat little, you know, neat rows and all of that, because there should be room in there for you to be inspired and do something totally different, or something in the world happens. I don't know what possibly that could be in 2020. I
can't imagine.
But something weird and off the wall happens. You know, I think we've had like 8 of those this year, where you need to allow space for inspiration. So it could be content, could be anything. It's not just, I used blogs as an example because that's where I started. But what I really love to do too is to figure out, how does the blog fit in with what you're publishing on the podcast, which fits in with what you're planning to launch in a couple of months, which also fits in with what's going on, you know, in the world today and all of that, and getting all of the pieces to fit together in a really strategic way. So,
yes. And to tie in with that, and thank you for clarifying, because yes, content is so much more than quote unquote, just blogging. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have that strategy, and I think that's where, you know, with my true confession of those blogs is, since there's not really a strategy around them, it's like, well, where does that even fit in to post or do or write? And that's where it kind of just gets swept aside of like, oh, someday we'll get to that, because it's not part of that strategy. And I love how you kind of saw that lacking with your clients and were able to use that as a like catalyst to be like, okay, how do I actually solve their problem for them and decide to include that strategy piece in and solving a bigger problem, I guess, and not just like the little like, I need a blog post for this or an email sequence for this. Right,
right.
What are some of the content mistakes that you see people making right now? Is there anything that just like you keep seeing and just completely irks you?
Yes.
That's why I asked. Like,
as you watch my face on video. Like, yes. So there are a lot of things out there that definitely irk me. I think that one of the things that we can even take from 2020 is there's a lot of garbage going on in the world right now. There's a lot of negativity, and there's reason for a lot of that negativity. But at the same time, I would love to see less of the bashing other people and the way other people are doing things online. Everybody has their own way of running a business. I'm seeing quite a few people who have been posting a lot about what they're seeing wrong in the business world. And I get that that's kind of what I'm doing right now too. So I'm speaking.
I asked you though. I prompted you, but yes.
I just like to see the bright side of things. I like to see the positivity. Of course, I have very strong feelings about a lot of things that are going on. At the same time, I think that I think we should be talking about them. Absolutely. But I also think that we can talk about them in ways that are not negative toward other people in our same space or in our general industry. That's one thing that's really bothered me. I've unfollowed quite a few people because I just can't anymore. Watching the news, I watch the news. I, you know, have certain people that I follow. But beyond that, like, we need to, you know, I feel like I needed to take a step back. As far as specific content strategy ideas, I think that people are not promoting things far enough in advance. So I've even had clients say, oh, I want to launch this thing next month. I think, okay, well, we've got 3 weeks to go. We needed some buildup. You know, we have to plan things ahead of time. And I understand that some people are not planners, and it works for some people, but it doesn't work for everyone, especially if you don't have an audience already, especially if you are talking about something new or trying to do something totally different. It's really important to give yourself a runway of promotional time, of talking about a concept or an idea for a period of time so that your audience can warm up to that idea. I think that another mistake that people make is just putting content, just the reason why I pivoted to where I am right now, putting out content for the sake of putting out content doesn't work. There needs to be a reason behind what you're creating and what you're putting out there. And if there's not, then it's kind of a waste of time, and it's a waste of your effort. It's a waste of money if you're having somebody else create it for you. Not proofreading things, you know, typos, things like that. That's a huge pet peeve of mine. So yeah, there's just, we need to stop and take a step back and just really take a look at what we're creating. And also, I think a lot of people feel like they have to be in all of the places because they see other people in all of the places. Well, you don't know how long have the other people been in business? How long has your competition been in business? Where can you focus? You know, finding out where your audience is and focusing in that one or two, that one place or the two places where they're hanging out online, focus on those and don't worry about being in the other places. You know, really double down on one or two places. You do not have to create blog posts or podcast episodes or YouTube videos every single week. You don't have to email your audience every single week. You should be consistent. You should be out there, but it doesn't have to be daily on social media, weekly on other platforms. Do what works for you and what feels good for you and what's you know, sustainable for you.
That's so refreshing. Do you think we need to have a set cadence of we're publishing these places these days or this many times per week or month?
Yes, I do. In your, I call it your pillar content, your pillar platform. So there are three types of content that you quote unquote own, plus email. Email I look at separately, but you own your blog because it's on your website and you own your domain and all of that. So that's a pillar platform. Another pillar platform is your podcast, because you're paying for your hosting, right? It's your content. It's your voice. You're putting it out in your own way. And then the third one is your YouTube channel. So if you have a YouTube channel, even though you technically don't own your YouTube channel, it's owned by YouTube and Google. It's searchable by Google. So it's really valuable for your SEO. So those I consider your pillar platforms, and I recommend you, whichever one you choose to publish content on, and of course you can publish content on more than just one, but pick one that's going to be the primary platform, and yes, have a cadence, I'm going to publish weekly or every other week or, you know, twice a week. I publish my podcast. I was weekly at first and then every Monday. And then I recently transitioned to every Monday and every other Thursday. So I added, and that's just something that my audience can come to expect. And because I think, especially with podcasts, because they're so automatic, they show up on your phone, you know, when you go to your podcast app, people come to expect that. So it's really important to have some sort of cadence that they can expect, because then, you know, and then when it doesn't show up, they're going to wonder, well, what happened? Where did she go?
So true. We're very in sync with, I call it authority platforms,
yes.
Like platforms,
yeah,
that you automatically have authority on, mm-hmm, and same thing, like blog, YouTube, podcast. So mm-hmm, I love that those are your three pillar platforms of like, you got to have one of those and having that cadence. And yeah, with podcasting, it's really a habit. People will, you know, they'll like, oh, I listen when I go for my run on, you know, on this day, or, you know, I guess back when we used to drive places, you know,
yeah,
during the drive or during the, you know, people kind of work you into their routine during the week. So yeah, probably even more so than the other platforms, podcasting is really important to stick to that,
yes,
that cadence. I find for me, my personality type, having that pressure of the like people are expecting it helps me commit to it far more than like, oh, nobody really cares if it's this day or that day, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Well, but I think just having the rule in general probably keeps people more on track of just, you know, there is a cadence and you have something you're working towards versus like, it would be a good idea to do this at some point during the month, you know?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and having that podcast, especially just knowing it's going to pop up on somebody's app. So just this past week, I was really late getting, even though it was done, but I was really late getting the audio to my audio editor. And so I ended up, my podcast comes out at 2 a.m. Monday mornings, and I was not up at 2 a.m., but at 6 a.m., I was frantically getting it out there because it was my assistant doesn't start working until 9 o'clock. And so I was like, I was so late getting it. It was terrible. I was really upset with myself for doing that.
It was still there, but yes, that's but that commitment.
I knew people. I knew people were expecting it, and so I wanted to make sure it got out there. So yeah.
Yes. Okay. So with this content, I guess before we go to the next, you have your pillar content, and then where does social media fit into that?
So obviously any of your pillar content, you are going to want to share on social media. So you definitely want to share then anytime something goes live. But then also I would say, again, figure out where your audience is hanging out, know where they are, and create a couple of additional posts there. If you want to focus on, if your people are on Instagram and you want to focus on video there because video does really well there, then have a schedule for when you're going to use Instagram stories or publish an IGTV or something like that. Have some sort of schedule. Again, it doesn't have to be daily, doesn't have to be every week, but have some sort of schedule. And I would say, you know, because of the way the feeds, any kind of feed for any social media platform, the way the feeds are so quick to kind of turn over, I would say that people are probably not paying attention to, oh, I know Jacqueline posts on her feed every Wednesday. Nobody's paying attention to that. But just be present, be there. And then I said before, email is separate. I consider that a must have for everyone to have an email list and to nurture your email list on a regular basis. And again, that doesn't mean you have to send one every other day. Please do not do that unless you're in a sales cycle.
Okay, thank you.
Do not
also
do that.
Refreshing.
That's annoying.
To hear.
Yeah. No, that's annoying. But, you know, weekly, when does your podcast come out? Send an email the day that your podcast comes out, let them know. And when you're sending that email, and this is more like what the content should actually contain, it tell them a story, give them a little something extra in your email that you aren't giving to your audience anywhere else. So I actually, the last couple of weeks have told kind of embarrassing stories about, embarrassing personal stories relating to the topic of my podcast episodes. And they're just fun, and they're a way to connect with my audience and to give them something a little bit more that they're not going to get anywhere else. And yeah, and just connect with them that way. Send them a regular email weekly, every other week, just to connect.
Okay. All right. So now that we have this overall cadence strategy, where do we start with figuring out what should be in this content? What should be in this content so it is actually serving a purpose? I know you mentioned that earlier, like every piece of content should be serving a purpose. And tied to that overall strategy, how do we start to figure out what that should be?
Yeah. So I keep saying, figure out where your audience is. And how are you going to know that unless you actually talk to them, unless you ask them? Have conversations with them. So it's not enough to guess. It's not enough to say, well, I serve executives. And so I think that they're all on LinkedIn. Well, you know, that depends on what is your business. Are you helping executives with decorating their offices? They're not going to go to LinkedIn to look for that information. They're probably going to go to Instagram to look for that information, to see some inspiration. Maybe they're over on Pinterest. They're probably on Pinterest looking at that. I mean, it totally depends, but you don't know until you talk to them and ask them. So to figure out exactly where they are and what they want, you have to survey them. And you can do that in a couple of different ways. So you can send a written survey or a form. I like to use Airtable. You can use Jotform or Typeform or Google Forms or any of the forms.
I was going to say, is Google Forms too basic? Google Forms works.
Yeah. No, okay. Totally. Google Forms. So you can use some sort of fillable survey where you ask them some standard questions. And some of the questions I like to ask are, what are your biggest challenges when it comes to blank? And then whatever it is you're trying to find out more information about, content strategy, mindset when it comes to exercise, how to decorate my office, whatever it is that you're trying to find out. I like to ask things like, what's the first thing you think of when I say, and then plug in the words and give them some options. Ooh. So you can give them some options and you can also make them fillable so that they actually have to come up with their own words. So not only does that give you insight into what they're thinking about, it can help you generate content ideas, and it can also help you figure out what programs and services should I be offering? What should be included in my coaching packages? What should be included in my membership? And you know, like, it just gives you so much insight. And then other questions that I say you should always, always, always ask are, where do you follow me online? So find out where they're following you and list all of the places that you're at. And then also ask them, how do you like to consume information online? And list everything you can possibly think of, even if it's something that you never thought that you would create. So for example,
I'm like, what would that be?
Well, for me, it was podcasts. Oh. I never planned, I was not going to have a podcast because I love to write. And so I should be blogging because I love to write. Well, come to find out, I did an audience survey and almost 100% of the people I surveyed said that they love podcasts. And I was like, well, I guess I'm starting a podcast.
I love that.
And I did. And I love doing it. I love doing it. So yeah. So you want to know where are people following you online right now? Because if you're on LinkedIn on a regular basis and nobody is following you online, following you on LinkedIn, do you really need to continue putting the time and effort into it? Probably not. Unless you're trying to change the audience that you are working with. And then knowing exactly where they're hanging out is so, so important. And then I should add too, so as you're serving your audience, so I said almost 100% of the people who I surveyed said that they listen to podcasts. Well, I did not survey my entire list. So when you're surveying your audience, I don't ever recommend sending a survey to your email list. And I know that it's really tempting for people to do that, to just send it out to everybody, but you do not know who is on your email list. If you have more than your parents and your spouse on your list, you don't know who those people are. You don't know if they're ideal audience members. And so you could potentially get back responses from people that you don't want to work with anyway, because they're never going to buy your stuff. They are difficult to work with, you know, what have you. So what I recommend doing is handpicking people who you want their feedback from. So people you already have a relationship with, people who you have worked with in the past and enjoyed working with. Don't pick that difficult client. People who you're working with now, who you'd like to continue working with, and then people who you have a relationship with who potentially could be ideal clients of yours or customers of yours, people who you would love to bring into your business as clients, ask those people. And they should be people you already have a relationship with of some sort. That doesn't mean they have to be on your email list. It doesn't mean they have to be connected with you on Instagram. It's just people who you have worked with, are working with, or potentially could work with. Those are the people you want to ask.
So smart, because then you make sure you're really getting feedback from the right type of people and not skewing your results based on a bunch of people that are just freebie seekers on your list or something like that.
Right. Or your parents. My parents are on my email list. And every once in a while, my dad will email me and he'll be, why did you say this? Or why did you tell this story, Abby? And I'm like, well, none of your business. You're not hysterical. My ideal customer. You're not ever going to buy from me.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my parents don't totally get why I post about certain things either. Mm-hmm. So what's a good number? In terms of like, okay, if you're trying to get feedback in this survey, I think a lot of people, I don't know, like it's like, oh, I want to get as many responses, but you're saying no, you want really tailored responses. So how many people should we be asking and how many survey results is a good, like, okay, this is a, I don't know, a decent amount of data to work with?
Yeah. So I would say if you are newer to business, if you have a small list, if you are just getting started creating content, I would ask maybe 8 to 10 people. If you've been around longer, if you feel like you have more connections, maybe you are thinking about putting together something that is like a higher ticket offering or something like that, I would ask maybe up to 20 people. But I really don't think that there's a need to ask hundreds of people. There's no need to send out a survey to 100 people or 300 people. Keep it small because, again, you're handpicking people. So do you really want to handpick 100 people? That's really hard to do.
Do you think we need to incentivize them at all?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Because who doesn't want some sort of prize or something. Yeah. So I would recommend, it depends on, I usually do an Amazon gift card. That's my incentive. I will, I give them a deadline. So I give about 5 to 7 days to fill out the survey. Anyone who returns their survey by such and such date at, you know, noon Pacific or whatever, will be entered in a drawing for a $20 Amazon gift card or $50 Amazon gift card. The higher the card value, the more likely you are to get responses, which I'm sure everybody knows that. I use that because I am virtual. All of my clients are online all over the country. If you are a local business, if you work with a lot of local people, then I would recommend choosing a locally owned restaurant or small business as a good incentive, because who doesn't want to support small local business, right?
Yeah, even better. I love that. Yes. Love that tip. Yes. And it's okay to bribe. And especially because you're bribing a very, and I use the word bribe just in jest, but incentivizing this small hand-selected group of people. This isn't like, you know, because sometimes if you're just putting a survey out there to everyone on your list and you do an incentive like, oh, I'm giving away an iPad or something ridiculous like that, you could really skew your results because people that are going to answer are people that want to win an iPad, not necessarily the right people. So I love how you framed this where it's like, okay, no, we know we have the right people, but there's that little extra incentive to make sure those right people actually get motivated to do the thing.
Yeah. And something else too. So if you are a product business and you are surveying people who are like current ongoing customers of yours, you know, that give away one of your products. That's totally fine. I would avoid giving a discount to anything. So if somebody is going to have to spend money in order to actually use the prize or use the incentive, then it's not a good incentive. It needs to be something that you can just give them or gift them.
Very good point. Yeah. Okay, good. And I've done this before. I've given away digital products. So like a training or something like that to, I've done it in times where I've given it to everybody who does it.
Nice.
So just, you know, again, not going out to my whole list, but just, you know, that incentive to get people to actually do it. Right. So be creative, but yeah, that's a good reminder of like, yes, if they have to buy something, it's not actually
for yourself serving
the incentive that you think it is. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So after we do the survey, any advice on taking that data And then what do we do with that to then start turning it into content ideas?
So what I typically teach is you, as you're waiting for your survey results to come back, you need to do a little bit of work on your own first. So think about, and you can do this no matter where you are in business, no matter how long you've been in business. I think it's always, it's just an important exercise to go through. Figure out what are your, I call them zones of genius. What are the areas where you are able to talk about over and over again, things that align with your offers, that align with your business goals, where you want to go in business, all of that. The ideas that you are an expert in that you can talk about could be that a lot of times these turn into your categories on your blog, like the big ideas that you can talk about. What are those? And then, and I put them on a spreadsheet, on an Excel spreadsheet. You can use a Trello board, you can use Airtable, you can use whatever. But I like to put them at the top of the spreadsheet. And then underneath there, I will brainstorm as many ideas as you can think of that relate to that zone of genius, that main topic. So if you're a business coach and you help, mindset is one of your zones of genius. So topics could be somewhere around, you know, who needs help with their mindset, what to do when you need a mindset shift, five tips to, having a more positive mindset. But you just brainstorm as many ideas as you can and use question words, because people are going to ask you questions. Who, how, who, what, when, where, why, how, list type ideas, things like that. Just brain dump as many as you can. And then as your survey results start to come in, you can compare what you are seeing in the survey results to some of the ideas that you already have. Are the zones of genius aligning? Are you able to create content around? Are they seeing what your genius is? And you know, is that where they need help? Do you need to adjust your zones of genius to kind of fit what your audience needs? And then you can kind of plug in the topic ideas at the same time. So when you asked the question, what is your biggest challenge when it comes to blank, you know, whatever your idea was, make sure you're then putting those ideas into your zones of genius and filling in your spreadsheet that way. And then those then mm-hmm. become all of your topic ideas that you put into your overall strategy.
Oh, I love how you broke that down and checking to see, okay, is this totally out of alignment? Or so let's say we have a category there and then literally nobody says anything about that category. Does that mean we need to eliminate the category, or it just emphasizes that we need to be more vocal about the fact that that's one of our zones of geniuses?
So I would say it depends, because that's like the best answer ever, is it depends. It depends on, is that something that's really important? Do they need that, whatever that genius is, do they need that information in order to be successful in whatever it is you're teaching or giving to your audience? Do they need that in order to be successful? And is it something that aligns with your offers? Because if it's something that aligns with your offers and in the survey, they're not recognizing this at all, then yes, I think that maybe it is something you need to talk up a little bit or figure out a way to intersect it, I guess, with some of the other topics that you talk about, like breadcrumbing, teasing the information a little bit so that they can become a little more knowledgeable. So one example, actually, a personal example from somebody that I hired, a functional medicine coach to help me with some issues. And I thought all of my issues were related to age. Because I'm in my almost late 40s now. So I thought it was all age related. All the issues that I was having, it turns out it was my nutrition. It was what I was eating. Some of the healthy foods I was eating that were wreaking havoc on my body. And I had no idea. So that was something that I would not have aligned the fact that I was tired all the time. I just, you know, wasn't feeling right. I would never have thought that that was nutrition related, because of, I thought it was all hormone related. So that's an example of how, like, me as the consumer my mindset was completely off in another direction as to what my issue really was. So going in and being able to read her content, listen to her podcast to teach me more made me realize, oh, well, it's the foods I'm eating. It's the spinach and the broccoli that I was eating that was wreaking havoc on my body. Like literally, that was it.
So wild.
Yeah.
I'm very fascinated by all of this. Right? You're like, but I'm eating so healthy.
I know.
You know? So interesting. So, okay. So I know it's a difficult question to answer first. So really to take into account, okay, is this something I need to be louder about? Is it really important? Or maybe is it something that you think you should be talking about because the industry is, but maybe it's not really your expertise or what people see in you. With my first business with Chasing Dreams and Littles, everyone always wanted to talk to me about time management. Like that was like, those were all the questions. I was like, I could talk about it, but like, this is not my area of expertise. This is not something that excites me. And I had to really intentionally like shift out of that because I kept accommodating it at first. And then I was like, okay, now like I need to, you know, change probably my whole business, which is what I ended up doing. But that's a whole story for another day. But yes, so sometimes they want something for you that is not the thing you want to be talking about, or sometimes you just need to really be louder about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're comparing notes. Anything else to keep in mind before we wrap up? Like any last tips with taking that survey and turning it into the content ideas? Things to look out for?
I think that sometimes as you're brainstorming content ideas, as the survey results are coming in, I think that people can sometimes get a little overwhelmed and see that there are so many topic. Well, two things. One, there are so many topics and so many things that you can create content around. And so they start to get a little paralyzed, like, oh my God, I don't have time to do all this. This is a lot. I need to create content every single day. And you really don't. It goes back to what we were talking about before, that you don't have to do it all and you don't have to do it all every day and all over the place. So that's one place I think where people get challenged. And so getting paralyzed, they maybe limit themselves on the ideas that they could actually come up with. So just brain dump all of them, put them all down. And then the next step after that is then turning it into a true strategy where it's the content ideas are leading to something specific. So that's a whole nother conversation. But the other thing that I see a lot of times is that because we're in business to make money, we want to make money. That's the whole point of being in business, right? I mean, I know that there's other reasons too, but we're doing this because it brings in revenue. It helps our families. It's our livelihood, all of that. So I think that we get really, I don't know, tunnel visioned on, we want to talk about our products and services. But when you create your zones of genius, when you are talking to your audience and getting more information from them, it's not about your products and services. It's about it's about two things: the outcomes, like what, how you want to impact people, the solution that you are solving, and then it should also be about what comes before they work with you. What are the things that they need to know and be able to do in order to make a good purchasing decision? How can you nurture them into the idea that, oh my gosh, yes, I really do need what she is offering. I really need this thing. So if you are a physical therapist, or you're someone who works with, you know, in like, let's say the nutritionist, what are the things that people need to know? Well, they need to know that feeling crappy is not necessarily your hormones. It's a lot of other things that go into it, and then go into your physiology and your body and all of that. So think about what are the things that people need to know before they get on that discovery call with you. And you can think of that. So when you're brainstorming, think about too, all of the things that you wish you didn't have to answer in those discovery calls.
Oh, that's a good
one. Those are some great content ideas right there. Because you can even send those. So if it's a podcast or a blog or a video or whatever, you can send that to people as they wait for your discovery call, especially if you're on a waiting list. So somebody signs up for a discovery call, they indicate they want to meet with you to talk about X or Y service. So have a templated email ready that you can send out. Great, I can't wait to meet with you. Have your assistant send this out. I can't wait to meet with you. Here are some things that you can read, you know, before or listen to before we get on our call. So if you're on a wait list and it takes a couple weeks for people to get on a call with you, give them some homework to do. And then your calls might be quicker. You might make the sale a lot easier because they're prepped and ready when they get on the call with you.
Oh, such a good tip. Okay. Thank you so much for breaking this all down and giving these amazing tips and strategies. How can we stay in touch with you?
Well, I would love to offer your audience something that I don't do. So I have, ooh. I actually have a free challenge that I run live a couple of times a year. It's called the Ask Your Audience Challenge. And I actually walk you through how to create the, this survey for your audience. I'm not running it live again until March of 2021, but I will give your audience the templates that I use. So I have one in Airtable, one in Google Forms, and then I have a couple of PDFs that just gives you a little more idea, a few more ideas on what types of questions you can ask. So I'll offer that to your audience. So while they're waiting for the Ask Your Audience Challenge, they can at least have some templates to get started with talking to their audience and surveying them. So that is at Abby M.
Thank
Herman.
You. Oh, yeah. Okay, no, say it clean so they can get it. But I'm like, oh my God, what a treat. Thank you. Okay. So where can they get it?
It's at abbymherman.com/gotogal. So you can get that there. And you can find me on Instagram, Abby M. Herman, or just at my website, abbymherman.com.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so, so much, Abby.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.